hello and welcome to another episode of the PR Not BS podcast by me, Fiona Scott. Thank you very much for listening in today. The subject I want to cover is bad news and crisis management in and around your business, organisation, or local authority, or whatever organisation you represent, whatever role you hold within it. Crisis communications is something that every single organisation needs to think about, even if they don't engage in media relations. Because if you've listened to my podcast, you'll know every single business has to do PR, public relations. You have to, or you won't have a business because, you know, you will be invisible. You have to do it. But there are risks in being visible. There are risks. And I want to talk about that today. Now, when it comes to the media, I often hear the saying, the media are only interested in bad news. And that's absolutely not true. That just shows to me you don't understand how the media works, particularly at a local and regional level. Some media are interested in bad news because of clickbait. And why is it clickbait? Well, it's because that's what we read, folks. Whether you like it or not, those are the most clicked on stories on the internet when it comes to a news site. But generally, the media are not just interested in bad news. They're interested in all news. Okay, so I want you to think about this for a minute. In the world of the journalist, bad news becomes public incredibly quickly. And the reason it does is because it's unusual. Bad news is actually unusual. When something unusual and bad happens, certain things come into play, which bring it to the attention of a journalist very quickly. So things like car accident, road traffic collision, as they're now called, or a fire, flood, criminal incident of some kind. Okay, in the past, when I was a full-time newspaper journalist, people, when they feel disempowered, or they're caught up in an incident which shocks them, will do a couple of things. They'll call the emergency services and they'll call local journalists. And it will happen very quickly. I recall many years ago in Swindon, doing a story, there was a very bad accident on a road called Acres Way in Swindon, where sadly several children lost their lives. Now, when that happened, there were two duty reporters in the Swindon advert office, and I was one of them. And it happened in a big housing estate in Swindon on a main road. And as many people who called the emergency services when that happened, there were as many people that called in to us in the newsroom. It's almost like a reflex action. People feel they need to do something. And therefore, not me, but a colleague, went to the scene of the accident. We realised because of the volume of calls, this was big. And we got there at the same time as the emergency services. And before writing any stories or taking any photographs, my colleague and the photographer helped. That's what they actually did. They helped. And when the time came to take photographs, it was done mindfully. And the ones that we used were very carefully considered when we were back in the office, I can assure you. So bad news travels fast. Now, come forward a decade, 15 years, you add into that mix social media. People will now, before they ring a newspaper office or anything like that, they'll be out with their phones, taking pictures, taking video, posting it to various social media platforms within seconds. Seconds. Think recently of the fuel crisis. People blame the media for that. But actually, I contend that if the mainstream media had not even written a word about it, it would still have become a massive story because people were telling those stories on their social media. And therefore, when you think about that, bad news reaches the public domain really, really quickly. And sitting in the public domain are journalists. Now, once you accept that, the truth is that actually good news, journalists, local papers, regional particularly, they want good news stories. And national level feature writers want good news stories. They ask for them all the time. They're very hard to find, folks. And the reason they're hard to find is we don't actually talk about our good news much. particularly in the UK, we seem to get very obsessed with what will people think, you know, are we boasting, and all sorts of stuff like that, where in actual fact, when we if we were to switch our mindset and think, will this good news serve somebody, we would tell our good news more often and more loudly. So we have to work a bit harder to get our good news out there. And that's one reason why, you know, PR people like me now, with my PR hat on, that's why we exist. We exist because of that. But obviously, once you are out there and you've got a profile, you could become well known. It might be in your area, in your street, in your town, in your city, in your region, nationally. There are risks. And these are the things I'm going to talk to you about today. Always, if you're going to do PR or you feel that your PR is rising, your profile is rising, you're getting more successful, you need to consider the risks because they will come along. And in these days, I find with most organisations, the biggest risk comes from social media. Don't know if any of you are listening will agree with me, but it does. And what do I mean by that? It means simply someone can negatively comment on your social media about you, okay? Or they can give you a review that's negative. It could be on Google. I might give you a one-star review. Or they may do the same on Facebook. Or they may say something negatively on LinkedIn. Or I see it less on LinkedIn, but on other platforms. And that's the biggest and the first risk. And dealing with that risk really gives you the tools to deal with any other. Because, you know, that is the biggest risk for any business of all size. Now, when that happens, what are you going to do? Now, a large part of PR is reputation. And I think there's a saying that says it takes a long time and a lot of hard work to build a good reputation, but a few seconds to damage it. And that is true. That is true. So on social media, when someone is negative, you need to really assess what they're saying and what that basis is in truth. And then you can decide what to do about it. So my rule of thumb is this. Acknowledge what is being said. That doesn't mean you agree with it. Acknowledge it and then act accordingly. So there are various ways this can happen. One of the most common things is a fake review. And you might get this on Google or you might get it on Facebook. I'll give you a couple of examples. I had one on Facebook a few years ago. A lady rated my business. She gave me a 3-star review with a pretty bland comment that says something like, "She's all right, isn't she?" Now, when that review turned up, it downgraded my sort of stars, if you like. So I went from like almost 5 stars to 3.5 or 4. So it actually brought my reputation down. And I responded like this. I said, "I'm interested in your comment," whatever the lady's name was, I don't remember. I said, "However, I've never worked with you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what business you represent. So if you'd like to send me your details so I can investigate why you're not giving me a 5-star service or whether I've actually worked with you at all, then please do so." So what I did is I acknowledged and I was ready to act. Now, I knew that that was a fake review. I also knew, and I did report it to Facebook and ask for it to be deleted, that that could take months. In actual fact, it took 2 years for them to take that review down. So it sat there for 2 years. So I want you to think about that for a minute. So if someone's coming along and doesn't know you and they look through the reviews, as many of us do, what are you going to think if there's something negative which hasn't been referenced or acknowledged in any way, shape or form? And what if you can't delete it? I actually don't advise deleting it because, you know, on social media, we're pretty savvy at working out if someone's being disruptive or malicious. We can almost instantly recognise that, and we'll recognise it more if you've responded, offered a solution and acted accordingly. It will do you less damage. Recently, I had a client who had a review on Google, which was extremely derogatory and negative, and that was exactly the steps we took. We acknowledged the comment, asked for them to get in touch, did an investigation and found out that my client had never even worked with that person, didn't even know who they were. In other words, it was spoof, fake, or it related to another office under that same brand, if you like, somewhere else in the country, but it didn't relate to my client at all in any way. And we did report it, but it could take some time for that to be removed. So you have to understand what can happen. A few other examples I've had. I once had on my Facebook business page, I mentioned a celebrity I was working with at the time, showed a picture of working with him, and someone commented, really, really long comment, someone I didn't know, about how they didn't like this particular celebrity and went into lots of detail why. Now, I didn't know this person, and I personally felt that was an unreasonable response. Now, I often use the test of law, which is what is being said reasonable? If it is, you need to respond to it. If it isn't, you can try and delete it, but you have to accept on social media that these things can take a while to go and that people can screenshot them. So always respond. So in this case, I responded just to show I'd read it, and then reported to have it deleted. But I had taken a copy of it and got in touch with the celebrity concerned and passed it on to them, and found out that this person had been waging a campaign about this celebrity based upon something that had happened. It had really happened. This person hadn't liked the outcome. The outcome was entirely reasonable, entirely legal, hadn't liked it, but was literally trawling social media, searching the celebrity's name and commenting on every single post that anyone posted mentioning this celebrity over months. So in other words, a troll. That is a troll doing that. So these things can come up in all sorts of different ways. I run a few community pages on Facebook. One's called Wiltshire What's On, Bath What's On, Bristol What's On. If you want to go along and check them out on Facebook, you can. On my Bath What's On one, I had a lady who, she put out a request for staff for a hospitality venue, which was perfectly fine. She put it out. Anyway, a little while later, she messaged me privately as the admin and said, please, can you remove the comment that someone's put? And I had a look, and the comment was from a business person, and it went along the lines of this. If you are recruiting new staff, please could you train them in customer service, as the experience I had with you when I booked a business lunch back in whenever was very poor. Poor service, lots of waiting. And I was emailed you afterwards. I've had no response. And therefore, I'm asking you train your staff better. Now, not pleasant to get that. I was asked to remove it, but I refused to do so. And the reason I refused to do so is that was based upon a lived experience. This guy clearly had not been happy about the service he received, emailed the establishment to ask for them to do something about it, and had not received a response. So I said to the person running this establishment, you have to deal with things like this. I'm not going to remove that. You know, you need to respond to it yourself, perhaps saying something like, oh, I'm very sorry we haven't responded, Tim. He wasn't called Tim, but I'm making that up. Tim, give me your email or direct message your email and I'll be in touch. Now, the person did say they would do that, but they were not happy that I would not remove that comment. And I still haven't removed it to this day. In another case, similarly, I had a business on, again, it was Bath What's On, talking about cleaning, looking for cleaners to join a cleaning business. And I had a message from the person that posted to say, could I remove a response by somebody else? And the response that this person had put there was, the best cleaners in the area are such and such. I wouldn't use anybody else but them. Don't use anyone else but them, mentioning a totally different company. Now, in that case, I thought that was not reasonable. That is literally not reasonable. This company was putting out something looking for people to work for them, and the other person was literally pointing them at somebody else with no basis. There was no context there. So I messaged the poster who made that comment and asked if they would remove it or explain themselves within the next couple of hours, or I'd be deleting the post and blocking them from the site. I got no response. And that's exactly what happened. So I would say to you, think, is this reasonable? Do you understand the context? Is it right? And then act accordingly, act in a reasonable manner, but acknowledge it. You acknowledge it. Don't delete and pretend it's not happening. You know, delete and pretend it's not happening is not a viable option when it comes to your reputation. In business, your biggest risk then, if you're a business person, charity, any other organisation, is social media. And you need to be keeping an eye on that. And you need to be responding to that appropriately. The other risks will be around any kind of official process that goes on around your business. By that, I mean, if a member of your staff or you or the business is involved in any kind of court case or similar. I also mean, if you are investigated for anything, it might be a normal investigation, such as Ofsted or CQC, Care Quality Commission, that is. So it's an official process that has to happen regularly, and there's going to be an official report. Or someone takes you to an industrial tribunal. There's just three examples of things where there's a process. You're going to know it's happening. You are going to have notice. And there are risks with things like that, that they will reach the public domain. And once they reach a hearing stage or a publication stage, all of that is sent to and flagged up to the media, always. So burying your head in the sand, if you get a poor report, you get a court case around your business, or you get taken to an industrial tribunal, don't bury your head in the sand and think, oh yeah, it's never going to reach a public domain, this isn't going to happen, it's never going to go anywhere. That is a fool's game, folks, because with a little planning and prep, it might not make the crisis go away, but you can certainly manage it better. It's the best way of describing it, manage it better so it doesn't destroy everything. And I'm going to give you a few examples that I've been involved with without naming any names at all. But just to give you an idea, I worked with a client before where a member of staff was arrested within the premises of the business for alleged domestic violence against his wife. It shocked everybody within the business and all the other staff who were there when he was arrested. So do you think that will reach the public domain, or would you hope it goes away? Think about that for a moment. Right, a court case of that nature will go to court, someone will be charged, and then there'll be a hearing. In that hearing, the circumstances, the allegations of what happened and when will come out. So if that happens in your business premises are going to be mentioned. Regardless of whether you like it or not, it's totally irrelevant. It's part of the facts of the case. The sentence is going to be passed. And then, you know, you may, as a business, feel you should respond to that. And in actual fact, if your business is mentioned in that court case, you should respond to it and acknowledge it. Acknowledge and act. You may, as a business, have done nothing wrong at all. You may have no knowledge of what was going on in this person's personal life. That doesn't matter. Your brand is aligned to that negative thing, and it's your reputation on the line. You have to show you care about it, because if you don't, you will just go down in their estimation. They will think twice about dealing with you, and it will happen instantly. It will happen subconsciously, and you have to be aware of it. So in that case, when that happened with one of my clients, we had a little plan in place. And it was that should it reach court, then we would give out a statement, because we knew that they would mention the business. We would give out a statement. And in fact, we drew up two. One, if this person was found not guilty, and another, if this person was found guilty. In actual fact, in that case, we had a plan. Everything was ready to go, and that would be acknowledged. As it happened, the case didn't go to court for various reasons that have nothing to do with my client. Didn't go to court. So you have to have a little plan ready to go. And then that gives you confidence if you're approached by a journalist later, or if suddenly, because a journalist, just because the event happened in your premises, a journalist doesn't have to ask for your comment if you're not in court and you're part of the court proceedings. But it is best to acknowledge it anyway. And we were ready to go, but it never reached the public domain. Another example I dealt with is I had a call from a chap who ran a business somewhere down in South Wiltshire, and a member of his staff, he had a lot of branded vans around the place, and a member of his team had over the weekend got drunk, driven a branded van and crashed it into the garden of a house, was subsequently arrested. The media turned up to this event, took pictures which showed his branded van. And in the run-up to the court case, these pictures were repeated several times. And the man rang me up and he said, I want you to stop the media using these pictures of my van because it's not fair. And I had to say to him, what have you said about this publicly? What have you said about it on social media? How have you acknowledged this incident? He had done nothing in the hope that it would all go away. So there's the first mistake, the hope that it'll all go away. It's not going to, so you need to be proactive. Statement out on your social media to acknowledge that something has happened by an employee. You might not be able to say very much, but you acknowledge it. The media running the picture of his van over and over again and to try and stop them, you can't. You can't stop them. It's part of the facts of the case. Of course they're going to keep doing that until the main hearing, you know, and where there's a resolution, they are perfectly entitled to use it. One, the picture belongs to them. It was probably taken from a public street. They were called in either by the police or by, more likely, a member of the public calling them to arrive on time. The fact that you don't like it and you feel it is unfair is absolutely irrelevant. It's factual. It's part of the case. It's part of the facts. That is why you need to acknowledge it and have a statement ready to go, which might be something along the lines of, we're extremely sorry that a member of our staff was involved in an incident which involved one of our vans being crashed into the garden of a home in wherever, Wiltshire. We are now investigating the matter. Can you see how that acknowledges and acts without going into personal details about the member of staff? And then you might want to update that statement later. If that member of staff is subject to a court case and, you know, various actions are taken, it might mean you've taken various actions in your business and you will need to close that story down. It may be an update of the previous statement where it'll say something like, we've investigated this incident and as a result, one of our drivers has been dismissed. You don't have to use their name. And in fact, I'd advise you not to. You might want to end it with, we're sorry for any distress caused by this incident or something like that. And I would also recommend something like the householder who was affected by that, sending them some kind of acknowledgement, like even if it's a bunch of flowers, something to let them know that you cared about it. And I do think this is going to be more important in the future to show caring. Okay, another thing to think about, industrial tribunals don't come up that often, but what you have to remember about them is they're in the public domain and an industrial tribunal body will tell the press about what's coming up. They don't give all the details. It will generally be the name of both parties and the sort of section of the law under which a tribunal is being held. And sometimes journalists will follow up on that, which they are perfectly entitled to do, by the way. Industrial tribunals are not covered by the same stringent laws that court cases are. In a court case, a journalist is very restricted initially on what they can say about it. It's not the same with an industrial tribunal. So knowing that's important. So I dealt with a case in the not too distant past with a small business in the Southwest where they'd held interviews for a job. And one of the interviewees took them to industrial tribunal for, I believe it was sexual discrimination. She was a woman. And I was asked to give advice on that. And I did do that. I gave advice. And the advice I gave was that you have to acknowledge and act. And you have to understand that if there's an industrial tribunal hearing, journalists could be there. They might not be, but they could be. And you can't predict that. And you'd have to have a statement ready to go. And you have to, the most important thing about an industrial tribunal for your business is turn up to the tribunal. You must be there. Because if you're not, and there is a journalist there, they can only reflect what is said within that tribunal. They have to be fair, balanced and accurate. So if you're not there giving your side of the story and they run a story about it, they don't have to put your side because you haven't bothered to turn up to give it. So you need to be there. Now, in this case, we came up with a little strategy of what we were going to do in various scenarios. But I did say to her, in my experience, most industrial tribunals do not get to a hearing because once people know what's involved, and maybe any costs that might be involved and what the risks are to their own pocket about taking someone to an industrial tribunal, they'll often stop. They'll stop the process. And indeed, that's what happened in this case. So it never made the public domain. And the third one I want to talk to you about this is when you get bad publicity, not because of something someone's done, but because of something almost beyond your control. So I was contacted via Facebook, believe it or not, on a bank holiday Monday by a very big company in London that had had some bad publicity in the national press. So there was me on a bank holiday Monday looking at this publicity that they'd had. And they were listed as a bad example of something within their particular sector. I'm not going to go into any more detail. So it's a general story about their sector in which bad case studies were listed, and they were one of them. So I dug a little deeper and I found out that the journalist writing this article had been in touch with them no less than four times via email, left messages. And this company had decided that if they ignored that journalist, the whole thing would go away. So it's best just to ignore it and not respond. Okay, please learn from their error. A journalist has a responsibility, particularly in a case like that, to contact you and ask for your side of the story. If you do not give your side of the story, don't assume they won't run the story. 9 times out of 10, they will. And it will simply say that you refused to comment or you were contacted for comment and didn't get back to them. And that's what had happened in this case. And they started saying how they thought that was unfair. And I said, well, it doesn't matter whether you think it's unfair or not. It's happened and the journalist has done nothing wrong. Anyway, I gave them some advice about what to do next. And I did that the next day at their board meeting. I was zoomed in to their meeting long before Zoom became the thing it is now. And I gave my advice. And I said to them at the very end, if you don't take my advice, this will come round again. Because if you don't do something about it, you'll always be seen as a bad case study, a bad example of this. They didn't take my advice. And sure enough, about 8 weeks later, I was called in again because they'd been used in exactly the same way and they had not taken my advice. And that happened three times. Three times they took professional advice and then didn't take it. And I wasn't doing it for them. I was simply advising them on what to do. So do not be stupid enough to think that bad news won't come, whatever the size of your business. These things happen. When they do, you have to learn from them and have a little plan. I hope that's helpful. I think that's enough in one go, isn't it, on bad news? But I'm sure it's a subject we'll return to. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, you can via my website, www.scottmedia.uk. Or you can email me at fiona@fionascott.co.uk. And please tune in the next time. Thank you.